Hello there, Verbal Shenanigans fans. It's Scott, your boy. I want to tell you about the new sponsor we're very excited to work with. Let me try to get a work with. And that's DraftKings.com. Fantasy sports fans are winning huge cash prizes every day at DraftKings.com, America's favorite place to play daily fantasy sports. Daily fantasy means no season-long commitments. Play whenever you want. Guy gets injured, no big deal. Start again the next day. Okay? You like fantasy baseball? You get a new team every day. It's awesome. Just pick your sport and draft your team. It's like a new season every time you play, so you're never stuck with the same players. Over $1 billion will be won at DraftKings.com this year, and you could be the next to win. Big. Go to DraftKings.com now and enter the promo code Shenanigans to play for free. That's Shenanigans for free entry now at DraftKings.com. Do it, people. All sorts of different sports you can play, whether you're an MMA fan, a golf fan, a racing fan, you name it, go to DraftKings.com, promo code Shenanigans.
What's going on?
You hear that?
Yeah, what's that sound?
That's the sound of a wolf, man. Several wolves.
Why do we have wolves in the studio?
Well, Mr. Berlow, I'm very excited. We're working with a new, brand new, brandy spanking new sponsor.
Oh, my God. Really?
Yes, a brand new sponsor, and I'm very excited to be part of it. You can call me part of the nation.
What kind of nation?
Well, this is Wolf Nation, spelled W-U-L-F, Wolf Nation, okay? Now, Wolf Nation is a brand new company, okay? And they got Wolf Nation Apparel, okay? It's a clothing company. Coming soon for men, women, children, and pets. So that means Obi can channel his inner wolf wearing a Wolf Nation shirt.
You sure can?
Yes. Right. Now, it's spelled Wolf, W-U-L-F, with a U, because it represents that unique individual. Berlow, it doesn't matter what race or size you are, but you, if you have a beard, you're part of Wolf Nation.
Ooh, I got to grow a beard to be a part of this thing.
Well, you always got, like, something going.
I got the little scrubble going here, if you will.
You're always like half and half. You're halfway there.
I don't know if I'm in or out, but I think I want to be in on this Wolf Nation.
You're kind of like Brett Favre. You're like kind of there. You just need a little bit more salt and pepper in there. But anyway, so excited for Wolf Nation, okay? Because you know what, Michael Berlow? A beard is a man's crown, okay? Oh. And some of your most powerful men wore and still wear beards. And you know what? Most of all, women dig it. Children like to pull it, you know, like Santa Claus style, okay? So Wolf, W-U-L-F, stands for Wake Up, Live Free. And you know what, Michael Berlow?
Tell me.
This is the mindset you need to have to be a wolf, okay?
All right.
Berlow, does this sound familiar? Are you tired of working?
Yes.
Check to check?
Yes.
In a negative situation?
Yes.
Then you know what? You need to wake up, follow your dreams, and do what makes you happy.
I will!
Wolf and Wolf Nation Apparel is for anyone who has drive, ambition, and wants the best out of life, okay? And remember, if you have a beard, you're already part of the Wolf Nation family, okay? Mm. Holidays are coming up, Berlow, before you know it, almost October, right?
Yeah.
Wolf Nation stuff for that husband, that father, that preacher, your son, okay? Your girlfriend, your wife, okay?
Anybody.
Wolf Nation is coming, so please stay tuned, okay?
I will.
As of now, website is under construction, but you can follow Wolf Nation at Instagram at Wolf Nation. You can go to Facebook, look up Wolf Nation, or Twitter at Wolf Nation _ Wolf. Also, if you want to call and get some info, you like some of the designs you see, that's 1-888-641-1003.
Scott, I'm excited.
1-888-641-1003. Wolf Nation, baby.
Be there.
But our shenanigans are cheeky and fun.
Yeah, I mean, his shenanigans are cruel and tragic.
Which makes them not shenanigans at all, really.
Evil shenanigans.
I swear to God, I'll pistol whip the next guy that says shenanigans.
Oh, yes. That's right.
I tried my best. Well, you lost all our cards. Kids, but I...
Go ahead, Doc. Do it.
Oh, yeah.
Are we in an 80s movie?
Pretty much.
All right.
Nine long years, baby.
Oh, wait, now I know the tune. I can't rock today.
Yep.
Let's go!
Let's go! To make the dream work.
Let's go. Let's go. Let's. We're going to make it this time. We're going to take it home. Let's go.
Let's go. Let's
do it.
Do it.
Do it.
Make it
happen.
Let's go. We get eliminated by St. Louis.
Stop it. We're playing the Dodgers first, all right?
I know.
9 long years and it's over, Michael Berlew. What seemed like an eternity. The Mets have won the division and have clinched the playoffs, and I am a happy, happy man.
Well, congratulations, sir. I mean, not to say they overachieved. They had a good group. I figured they would make their mark next year.
Yep.
They did this year. Good stuff, man.
Yep, and it doesn't hurt that the Nationals are just atrocious. Awful management. Infighting, as we saw today.
Yeah,
Papelbon, Harper beating each
Papelbon
other up.
Papelbon choked today.
That guy, anywhere he goes, is just an absolute cancer.
He's just
a jerk off.
He's an incredible talent. He's just got no social abilities whatsoever. He's just such a freaking douche.
He's a douche. That's what it is.
And he pretty much ended his career by doing that. I mean, you're going to choke out one of the best talents. Mm-hmm. You can debate possibly in the entire league right now.
Probably going to get MVP.
For basically a game you know is meaningless, you're eliminated from the playoffs, and he keeps on screaming about, well, I got to be on a winning team. No winning team's going to deal with him for 162.
If I was the Nationals, I'd cut him right now for even the remaining like 10 games of the season. Just release him.
Might as well.
You know, make a statement. Like, you know. But I don't know. Apparently he was yelling at Harper to run out a ball.
Yeah,
so.
I
love it. The manager's terrible. They're terrible. They were on paper. A lot of people had them pegged for the World Series this year.
Pretty much the last 3 years, they've been paperwork champions. They have everything there. It's just something's not clicking.
And you know what? They could have that year that they set Strasburg in the playoffs. You never know how when you're going to get another opportunity to be that far. And you know, Strasburg don't look the same anymore either. So
you figured they would have learned their lesson up in Montreal.
Yeah,
but no.
But anyway. The Mets are in. Very excited. I'm going to try to maybe go to one of these games, or if not, the World Series.
Say hi to my boys, Chase and Jimmy, okay?
Chase and Jimmy, yes. That's true. That's true. A bunch of Phillies over there.
Yep.
But I want to play the Dodgers. I don't want any part of the Cardinals because they're like playing the Patriots in the playoffs. You don't want any part of them. I don't want the Pirates.
You definitely don't want the Cubs.
Mm-hmm.
Well, I mean... It's hard to say. I mean, they're looking nice, and if they start gelling and people and that fan base gets behind, as long as Barkham stays at home and he doesn't try to...
Oh, Bartman?
Yep.
Yes. But anyway, welcome back to the Verbal Shenanigans Podcast, episode 73 or something like that. So we just came off being interviewed, which was kind of cool.
Mm-hmm.
We had a nice long episode, but...
Part two of that interview will be coming out soon, people.
I had a show last night. I absolutely crushed.
I know, man. I mean, I heard everybody who was there said you were the greatest comedian they ever saw.
Not one complaint from anyone there.
Not a single one.
Nope.
I mean, everybody who was there stood up and started chanting your name, for what I understand.
Yeah. So I did a show at Bust a Gut. Well, I went down to Bust a Gut Comedy Club. I was supposed to host. Mm-hmm. And it was Tim Hayes and Joseph Anthony. We're sitting there. They only had four reservations. And then those four didn't show up, and no one else showed up. So it was a no-show, which was very disappointing, you know.
Yeah, the reason they're called a Bust a Gut is because they average one person showing up. So that single gut every time gets busted.
Oh, a singular gut.
Yeah.
A singular gut. But I don't know. I was looking forward to it. I liked that room.
Oh, yeah.
It's a cool looking room. It's a nice guy.
We were there for a contest, if I recall. One of those, it was just after New Year's. You know, a bunch of comedians. It was a good thing. Good, nice event. People were talkative. I didn't like that whole voting system where you had to get on your phone and try to do the voting when it was like on three different pages. So,
well, that's all right. Michael Berlew, life goes on.
No, that will haunt me for the rest of my life.
It doesn't go on.
I should have won that damn contest.
Berlew, do you like to run?
No.
I don't really like running either, unless it's after a ball. You know, like
sports. I mean, I don't even blink an eye. I don't think about if I'm tired or anything. If there's some kind of sports activity, you don't think about. But when it comes to like just running in general and all, I could never get into it.
Yeah. Like, if I run a couple miles, I feel like my heart is seizing up and I'm going to die shortly. Now, reason I ask you is because we have we ventured into another direction here on the podcast with our guest today. She is a ultra runner. You know what that means?
She's a fan of Ultraman?
No.
Pass. I'll wait for the next guess.
But her name is Catra Corbett. Okay. Catra Corbett. And she's an ultra runner, meaning that she runs races like 50 miles, 100 miles, you know. Which I find absolutely insane. But
maybe we should tell her about Uber.
Yeah, right. Why run? There's a car service.
They have these things called horseless carriages. That
yeah, all that running. Like, I like biking. I don't like running.
Oh, yeah, I can bike forever. I got a bike in my storage and all. I got to get it fixed up, the wheel, and start using it. But running's not my...
But your bike has three wheels, right?
Well, four, you know. You can never be too safe.
It's a tricycle, right?
Well, you know. I mean, I like
my picture old you like riding those old, like, the ones with the huge wheel, the old metal, like the early bikes from the 20s.
This is a lovely day for a cycling event.
No pedals, just like going down the hill.
It takes me about 3 hours to get up onto the seat. You know, trying to get the ladder out's a bitch to get up there. I have no idea how hard it is to park that damn thing.
Yes. But I think we're going to go right to it.
And we're going to do it, but to do it.
We're going to get Catra Corbett on, hopefully. Right. So let's try to give her a call here.
Hello.
Hi, is this Catra?
Yes, it is.
Hey, it's Scott Brennan from Verbal Shenanigans. How are you?
Great. How are you doing?
Good. Can you hear us all right?
Yeah, I can hear you fine.
Beautifully. And this is Michael Berlew over here.
How you doing, ma'am?
Hi, how are you doing?
Good, good, good. So we are. So you are in California as we speak, correct?
Yes, I am.
So is it nice and sunny and beautiful out there right now?
It's actually overcast, but it was really, really hot.
Yes.
Yesterday and today.
Now you text me, emailed me before, and you said you were tired. You just came from a race, huh? Today or last night?
Yeah. Well, it was a race yesterday, and I finished this morning at 12:57.
Wait, it started yesterday?
Yeah, it was 3K, and it gave you 19 hours to finish it.
Oh. See,
19 hours? I think I can do 1 mile in that time frame.
Yeah, I think you could do a 5K in that time.
Yeah. I get, like, a couple rests and stuff. They have, like, pillows and stuff, right, on the side of the road?
So, first off, let's go over who you are first, okay, for our audience here. Now, would you define yourself as an ultra runner? Is that correct?
Yes, that's what I am. Ultra runner.
Now, that's a pretty sweet title to begin with, an ultra runner. But when did you start running? Now, I know you have an interesting backstory, and I'm also looking at some of your pictures. You got some pretty neat outfits we need to get into. We need to talk about your dog.
Okay, yeah, true.
We have lots of things to talk about.
Yes. I started running in 1996.
96, okay.
And I started doing ultras in 1998. Yeah, and I started running because I got clean and sober, and I needed to find something else to do.
Right. So so you're like, drugs aren't cool anymore. Let's just run 100 miles?
Well, I didn't run 100 miles right away.
I was about to say, did you know there were other choices out there, just out of curiosity, other than running 100 miles?
When to keep me clean and sober, so once I found running, that was a fun thing to do.
Now, clean and sober from what? Was it drugs and alcohol, or just one or the other?
Yeah,
or?
I and alcohol.
Nice.
Wow.
Okay, so what was the defining moment that made you stop, or like that made you just begin running and drop everything, or?
The defining moment of stopping is when I got arrested, went to jail for stalling speed.
Jeez.
Well, actually, that doesn't make everybody stop for good, but I got arrested, spent one night in jail. Basically, I would say I got scared straight because that was a scary place for me.
Mm-hmm.
I never thought I would end up there, and I ended up getting what was called drug diversion.
Okay.
And so I did an outpatient treatment program.
Okay. And so were you a runner at all before that, or just this was like a brand new thing you took on?
I hated running. No, I played soccer when I was younger, only because my dad was a coach and he was the president of Fremont City Soccer. Not by choice, just because my brother played soccer, so he made me play soccer.
Nice.
Freaking soccer people.
And I sat on the sideline. I hated running.
Oh, you were left out?
Yeah, no, I didn't want to play. I would refuse.
I
was there because I had to be.
So obviously you don't just start running crazy mileage. So you made the decision that to try running maybe, or was it like, you just went out for a run one day and it clicked? Or?
Well, I'll tell you how I did it.
All right.
So this came out of the gym 2 years after I got clean and sober, and I would walk. I had another dachshund that I would walk.
Mm-hmm.
One day I thought, I'm going to run this. I just thought, I'm going to try running this. That's progress. Really good at running anyways. I'm working out all the time, 7 days a week. And so I ran 3 miles, and I felt fantastic. And I thought, I want to run a race. So there was no online stuff. Computers were, back in the dark age.
Right.
Back in 96. It wasn't like, we have today. So I saw a flyer somewhere for a 10K, and I signed up for that, and I ran a 10K, and when I finished, this was 2 weeks after I started running, too, by the way.
Wow,
I never ran 6 miles.
Okay.
Yeah, so then I saw a flyer for the San Francisco Marathon, which is in 3 months from the time I started running, and I didn't know how far it was. I knew it was like 20 miles, but anyways, I signed up, and then I went out and bought a book on how to train for your first marathon, and that's when I realized, it's 26 miles, and I had to skip the chapter all the way to, because it was a six-month training program. Well, I have 3 months to train. Yeah. So I thought, what do I have to do? And so I skipped up, and it said your long run has to be 9 miles on Sunday. So there was no GPSs back then, like my fancy watches and stuff that I use now. So I drove my car, set my little odometer, and went out, 4.5 miles, and then turned around and came back. So I knew the point I had to run to the next day and then turn around. That's how it started.
Okay, so you were a fast learner, apparently. Why do you think that is? Why do you think that you were just able to just go, a lot of miles quick, very early on in your running?
It's more of a mental thing, I think. Mm-hmm. I just have determination, and I'm stubborn. So, and it was just, after I started getting into it, when I started the training, for the 3 months, then I really, really got into this. I had a program, I had a discipline, it was like something for me to do every day and work towards a goal, which I really needed. I was getting bored with just going to the gym and walking. And so this really helped, keep mm-hmm. me going and keeping sober, I think.
And how'd you feel after?
So
go on.
What's that?
I was going to say, how'd you?
So
after you.
What? I was going to say, don't interrupt me. No.
he does that
so
a
I
lot.
Started,
you know?
I started running marathons, and the first year I did two, and the second year I was doing every marathon in California. I was trying to, and there was a lot of them, and there was trail marathons, and that's how I started hearing about this ultra running business. I was like, well, that's only 6 miles further than the marathon. So, yeah. So that's how you look at things.
Is that what,
especially when I was doing marathons all the time. You know, I was like, oh, this is doable. I could go 6 more miles, I think.
So that's what an ultra race is considered, 30 miles?
31 miles is a 50K. So anything over 26.2 would be considered an ultra. But basically the standard distances are like 50K, 31 miles, 50-miler, 100K, which is 62 miles, which I ran yesterday, but it was actually 66 miles, the course is long. And then there's 100-milers, and then there's multi-day things. And yeah, it goes on and on. 200-milers now.
200-milers?
Huh.
So yes, I've done two of them.
So like your first couple of runs, how did you feel after that? I mean, was your body just naturally okay with the long distances, or did you find yourself having issues like cramping or anything like that?
No, nothing. I mean, it was really hard, but it's such a huge, you know, when you go from like running a marathon, which was my first marathon, was hard. It wasn't easy because it was something I had never done, and you know, but I kept waiting for this, like everybody said, oh, you hit a wall like around 23 miles in a marathon. And I was like waiting for some huge epic to occur where I was going to be exhausted, and I wasn't. I mean, I was tired at the end because I had never run continuously that far, but it wasn't like, oh my God, this is the most horrible thing I've ever done. I was just like so excited and amazed that I could go from non-running and hating running to all of a sudden loving running.
Yeah, see, I start hitting the wall at like 23 yards.
I get it by getting off the couch.
Berlu cramps up if he cheers too hard at the football game.
Throw me a banana.
Yeah, exactly. You get a banana. And you can't, because you don't want to drink a bunch of alcohol the night before you go for a run.
Nah, not my thing. Yeah. Nah.
Actually, usually the only times I run long distances is when I'm under the influence of alcohol.
We're out of beer. All right, I'm going to run a marathon. Be right back.
So you had a dachshund before you started running?
Yes.
Right.
I had a little dachshund, and he wasn't much of a runner once I started running. The most he ever did was a few miles. He was not a running dachshund.
Yes.
And I had another. I'm on my third dachshund. So my last dachshund was kind of a little bit of a runner. He ran 9 miles, and as he got older, his like 6 was his max. But the dachshund I have now is like no other.
Yeah, that's what I want. See, now I have a half English bulldog, half beagle, and we took him for it was basically a 4-mile hike, but with a lot of rocks and hills and stuff like that. And he literally, I don't think he was the same for 3 days. He almost fell asleep in the parking lot when we got to the truck.
Oh my God! Well, so, does he have like one of those squishy faces? Because they have a hard time breathing.
He's got like, basically he looks exactly like if he took a bulldog's body and then pasted a beagle's head on it. I'll send you a picture of him.
Okay, okay. So he doesn't have a squishy muzzle where they have hard time breathing.
No, he's got more of a squishy belly.
You have to take him out there and expect him to go up on a huge hill. He's not in shape.
Well, I didn't really know what the terrain was going to be like.
Listen,
I know,
he read your website. He heard about your dog. He just naturally assumed that's what all dogs do, so.
Yeah.
Right.
Exactly.
Similar to you, I skipped a couple chapters, and I said, let's take him up the hill.
We're going for our trip in 5 minutes. I can't read this whole website.
Mm-hmm. So
yeah, and you climbed 13,000 foot peak with him, right?
Yes.
Yeah.
Well, that's what it felt like to me.
Yeah, I think that was our first one.
So
yeah.
So now you have this. What, first off, what's the dog's name again? I know I read it.
Truman.
Truman.
So yeah. Tell us about Truman. We have a lot to talk about.
Sure. Well,
running, but I
want to
hear about the dog.
So I was after my last dachshund passed away, I rent a room from a good friend of mine, and he's retired. He's 69, and he really was attached to my dog when he passed away too. And so he decided, since he was retired, he wanted to volunteer at the Animal Humane Society, and he was doing stuff there. And I went and volunteered there too. And then I said, why don't we do the dachshund rescue? You know, of course I'm not home during the day, and I'm like, You watch the dachshunds. Let's get them. So he was fine with it. So actually, the first one that he fostered, he adopted. And Truman was about our fifth foster that came. Mm-hmm. And he came from a situation where the woman was a hoarder of dachshunds. She had 22. She meant well. I mean, he had dental. And
dachshunds everywhere.
Yeah, exactly. She was definitely a hoarder. So he was 6 and a half when he came. she chose like which doctrines to get rid of, you know, and she got rid of two mothers and some two litters of puppies and him and another older dachshund. And so my roommate was home and I was out of town, and he kept hearing me talk about a dapple dachshund. Like that was going to be the next dachshund I wanted, was a dapple, and I wanted a young one.
Okay.
You know, like two or three. So he saw him when our foster, our rescue group came, and he goes, "What is that one?" And she goes, "Well, that's a Isabella dapple, and his coloring's really unique, unlike just a regular dapple, because he's like a fawn color,
right?
With, you know, gray and fawn with white speckles."
Mm-hmm.
So he heard the word dapple, and he's like, "Well, maybe this will be the one," because he was secretly trying to find a dachshund for me. So when I came home, he had texted me, and I was running in Yosemite, and he goes, "Well, we got this dachshund, but it's afraid of everything." He goes, "It's hiding, so when you come home, it'll be hiding under the furniture somewhere."
Right.
So sure enough, I came home, and there's this, like, scared little dog shivering in the corner behind the couch, you know, and not coming out. He was, you know, terrified. So I kind of sat there and tried to get him treats, and he wasn't pseudo-oriented, like, can train him, like most dachshunds will go for food.
Right.
He was just terrified. So I thought, oh, what a poor little guy. So I started working with him, not intending on adopting him
right
at that point, because I was like, oh, he's older and, you know, he's got a lot of issues. But somehow I just fell in love with him and decided, well, you know, maybe I will keep him. And I was still in the back of my head. We had him for like a month and a half before I decided. But he couldn't even walk on a leash because he had never been outside like that, but he was terrified. Like if a car drove by, a noise, every noise terrified him. He would curl up in a ball, and it was like, oh my God, this dog has been through something. I mean, he's traumatized. So I decided, well, I can't walk him in the neighborhood. I would have to carry him halfway and then start walking him when we got away from traffic and stuff, but he was still constantly looking over his shoulder and stuff. So I decided, well, what if I bring him to the trailhead? I'll drive around the corner a mile away. I can't run with him or walk him there because he isn't going to go for it. He's going to put on the brake. And so I took him to the trailhead, and I thought, okay, I'm going to take him off leash. You know, I'm going to carry him to the trailhead, and I'm going to take him off leash, and he's either going to follow me when I start running, or he's just going to turn around and go back to the car. You know, it's not like he can get away from me. Or he's going to run real far, and I haven't seen him make a move very fast at any point. So I put him down, and I started running, and there he was, right by my side, following me, not caring about a cow, not caring about a squirrel, not caring about another person, not caring about anything around him, not chasing anything. I mean, most dachshunds or dogs are going to go chase stuff.
Right.
You know,
yeah, like my dog likes to, he thinks he's friends with everything, but he's also scared of everything. And one time when I was walking him, and he started crying because I wouldn't let him play with a snapping turtle. I'm picturing
that's not a good idea.
Yeah, my dog come back with half a snoot. So this dog,
not a good idea.
So this dog just started running with you, like long distances, like no problem.
So I started training him. Well, no, I trained him. Mm-hmm. So the first time we went out, we did like 3 miles. It was so. Then I thought, well, there's a lot of people on that side of the peak. So the next day, or 2 days later, I decided I'm going to start training him on this 6 mile loop. But we'll go 3 miles and we'll run, walk, you know, until he's, you know, comfortable with where he's going, and take him on the same place all the time so he feels comfortable. So within a week, he was, you know, running the whole thing, not a problem. And he never once has stopped, like where he's gotten exhausted, and he's been on 20-mile runs. He's done a 50K. So, yeah, we signed him up for a 10K. Like, he had been running for a couple of weeks, and he did a 10K.
You have to sign him up.
Well, actually, I actually
does he get a little number?
Right. Oh, yeah. Yeah, he's entered.
That's awesome.
So I have friends that are race directors. Usually they don't allow dogs, but everybody allows Truman. Truman is not like a dog, a normal dog.
So. He's the one that based all those Air Bud movies off of.
Oh, nice.
Yeah.
So how does a dog like, so he's running a 50K, you said now?
Yeah, so he did his first 50K. So this year so far, he ran his first marathon. And we did 6 hours and 10 minutes. And the only reason we were so slow, he would have gone under 6 hours. Well, because of me. I ran a 50K the day before. So I had to walk the last 3 miles.
Come on, Mom.
such excuses.
Yeah, so he did well there. And then he did a 48-hour race. I had him signed up because I was doing a 72-hour race. And so I had my roommate bring him out those 2 days so he could pace me. So basically, he ran, you know, he would go home at night and then come back and pace me during the day. That was my pacer. Yeah, so really? He did like...
A 48-hour race?
Yeah, but he only did 32 miles. He just came back.
Oh, that's... come on.
Wimpy dog.
He could have went more. So recently, though, he did his first 50K, and it was 107 degrees. But let me tell you, I, of course, take care of him. So it was a looped course, and I was supposed to run the 100, and then I decided just to do the 50K with him. And it was hot, so we sat out for 6 hours, and a lot of people sat out, you know, because it got really extremely hot, and nobody was hardly on the course moving. So we sat until it cooled down, so he did the first 22 miles running the whole way in a really good time, and then we waited till it got cool, and then we went back out because obviously the asphalt was hot, and we were running on the trail part. That's where he likes to run, and then like on the side. And he finished off the rest of his 31 miles, and he did it. If he had been running the whole time, it would have been about 8 hours and 20 minutes, but we did it 14 hours because we took that long break.
And he just goes like straight through. He's not like other dogs where he wants to sniff everything every 5 minutes or mark his territory.
No, not at all. No, it's weird. He's not like that. Unless he's, I take him with my roommate, Stockson. He has one. She likes to sniff. She likes to roll and poop and do weird stuff. She'll run and sniff things, and he'll follow behind her. She's like the teacher, like, here's how you can be a dog. Because he doesn't know. He didn't really know how to be a dog, I don't think, when he came, because he was so terrified living in the house of 22 dachshunds that he hid all his life.
Now,
so he
what
doesn't
do you,
play with a toy.
What do you got to feed that dog if it's running, you know, 30 miles or whatever?
What I eat when I'm running. So I carry, like, baby food packets and dried fruit and whatever I have with me, he eats all their packets, things like that. So, and then I bring him some little body treats. I'm vegan, but obviously he's not vegan. I tried to make him be vegan, and he lost, like, 2 pounds really quickly. And I was like, that food's not working for him, the vegan dog food that I got, and it just didn't work for him. So, I try, you know. But I am vegan, and like I said, I should have, you know, say, oh, well, we can feed him this vegan dog food. It just didn't work for him. And so he had a really conditions and stuff, and that didn't even help it. Now I have him on all this wheat-free, gluten-free, soy-free, corn-free dog food. That's really good for him.
Interesting. So you're vegan? So where do you
pretty
get a lot of your, what, like, so what does your diet consist of to run these kind of races?
Oh, I eat a lot of fruits and gels, date paste gels, and I eat dates a lot during races because those have, like, really good energy fuel. That's prolonged. And bananas, things like that. Like yesterday, I was eating a lot of watermelon. It was super hot, you know, and just tons of fruit, whatever they have out there. And then I just bring, you know, like I said, the packets of, like, baby food. And Cliff Bar Company, they make these new ones that are, like, baby food, and they have, like, a mango one that's really good. And they have this one called Pizza Margarita. And it's actually really good. So it has a lot of sodium and stuff. So I had those a couple of those yesterday when I, you know, it was towards the end because I was like, oh, that's like dinner. Because I actually had regular pizza, and I'm like, oh, no, I can't eat that. I don't eat wheat. I don't eat very much cooked stuff. And I go, oh, but you have these pizzas. I'll have this.
Interesting. So what, I mean, let's talk a little bit more about running. So what is the longest race you've done to date?
The longest, 200 miles.
Okay.
200 miles. So basically you just like ran New Jersey. Like
you run and you take the breaks. And it actually was a solo thing. I had there's 200 miles. But the last one I just did was canceled. So I decided to do 200 miles on my own. So that's how I ended up. So I picked an area that I run in, and it was in Seville. And I figured, well, I can park my car there, and it'll be an aid station, and I'll start from my house in the morning and run to Starbucks first, of course, and then run up over Ocean Peak, and then, so I had these loops, I did multiple loops inside of Sinol, but I kept thinking, oh, it won't be that hard, it's in Sinol. Well, I forget Sinol is a valley. Everything I did, I had to climb out. So I did, like, every single one of the trails in there multiple times, and I had people come out at night, so I would run back to Fremont and have my friends park there, and then we would go do Starbucks, get more caffeine, and then we'd run back to the wilderness, and then they would spend, you know, running the night with me because there's a lot of mountain lions out there. and the park rangers would, they allow me to do this stuff, but they're always like, you have to have a safety person at night. And I'm like, well, I want a safety person at night. I don't want to be out there by myself. Mm. So
now, how do you balance your speed?
Yeah, so it took me 79 hours. What's that?
How many hours? 79?
79 hours, yeah.
Oh, my God.
And I took two sleep breaks. I took a 2-hour and a 3-hour.
Week.
And then when you're in a race and it's like 200 miles, like where do you go to sleep?
They have sleep breaks. They have sleep stations.
Okay.
At the aid station for people to sleep. Yeah. Because some of these races, they give you like 120 hours to finish.
Wow. And how,
you're sleeping. Yeah. People are sleeping.
And how do you balance your speed when you're doing these? Because obviously, I'm guessing you do a lot of walking in these
hiking a lot. Oh, of course. Most definitely. You're hiking all the uphills, and then you want to try to run as much as you can on the flats and the downhill, you know. So a lot of it's very mountainous. So, I mean, even the person that's winning is hiking a good portion, you know. Because in 200 miles, you actually feel better when you finish than running 100 miles. And they've done studies of people, like, taking blood work and showing that they have less muscle damage because you're going at a slower rate and you're eating more and you're taking care of yourself. Like in a 100-mile race, you're like just, you know, pushing as much as you can. But in a 200-mile race, in order to finish, you know, because when you get to the halfway point, you're like, oh, I still have another 100 to do.
Naturally,
sounds like, yeah. Oh, I'm only mile 50. I only have a 50-miler. No, you have a whole another 100 to do. So they've shown with this study they did in Europe at some races where they had the 100-miler and a 200-miler going on, that the people took way better care of themselves in a 200-mile than in a 100-miler.
Wow. So you, I was reading on one of the articles about you. So you have, I think it said you claim to have run every day for like over 1,000 days, something like that?
Well, I started running every day on November 9th, 2012.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't know how many days in a row I am now, but I'm coming up on 3 years on November 9th.
Wow. Every day, huh?
Every day, yeah. My minimum has been a couple of times I've had to do like 1 mile, but usually my minimum is 2. I broke my toes in October or November. And so I told my doctor, I said, you have to listen. I have to run. And he's like, you can do whatever you want. He goes, you just can't bend your toes. And so I ran with broken toes, 2 broken toes.
Oh,
that's a natural thing to do when you break your toe.
Yeah, well, you had
walk
a heel.
Off,
I had a heel
strike.
But...
go run 100 miles. Get out there.
Like, I had to tape them, and it was pretty ridiculous how I ran. But I mean, within a week, I was able to run a little bit better. But he was just like, "Don't bend that foot. You have to keep it."
Now, what is this about your big toe exploding?
Oh, that was my blister. So I never get blisters. I wear this. I'm sponsored by Hoka, which is a running shoe company.
Okay.
And I ran this race, and I decided I was going to wear my road shoes because the terrain was hilly, but it wasn't, like, technical. And some of my road shoes are more cushy, and I like that. Well, the dust was getting in. It was, like, 2 inches thick of just dust, you know, because we have no rain in California. So everything's, like, dusting, disgusting. So my feet were getting, you know, there was a lot of dust in my shoes. So I got really bad blisters. And so I was cutting my toenail like 3 days later because my toe was killing me. And I knew I had a blister underneath that, but I couldn't get to it. I'm not going to drill a hole through my toenail. So I cut it and then it just exploded. Everything came out and I felt better.
Nice.
Yeah.
So that was
part of like, some people have horrendous story. No, I usually, like I said, never have a problem. So that was my first blister since 2010. But I had like 4 blisters on my feet.
Yeah, because I was looking it up. They were talking about black toe, where a lot of the ultra runners, they'll just lose basically most of their toenails. And I read an article how one guy, Marshall Ulrich, he just...
Oh, yeah. He's pretty hardcore. He ain't all removed.
Yeah. Apparently he came in for a vasectomy, and he's just like, hey, doc, do I need toenails? He's like, no. He's like, all right, remove them while I'm in here.
Yeah, then he didn't get any more blisters anymore. Because he used to get them underneath the, you know, no, I would not remove mine. I'm just missing one right now, but mine are perfect.
Now, are your feet like titanium? Like at this point, like you have to be like, you know,
well,
unable to hurt.
No, they hurt. Like they were hurting at the end yesterday. Like they were hurting towards the end. I was just like, because we had to run on sections. There were some sections of road, and it was just like, sometimes you get towards the end and you're just like, everything hurts. Like, just, you're ready for it to be over. And going into this race, we had no clue. Like, this one turnaround point, it ended up being, the course ended up being 4 miles longer. And no, nobody knew this going into it. So we had this long stretch, hot sun. It was a nice downhill, but you had to climb the hell out of there. Like, that's a turnaround. So you ended up at the, down at the river, and everybody got in the water, of course, because it was so hot out. But then you had to climb out, and it just, it was a very long, hot climb, and just, yeah. It, so by then, I mean, I'm just, like, pushing to run hard on the downhill. And I was going back to the aid station once I did the huge climb. That everything was running, so I was pushing so hard. Because I thought I was going to finish in 16 hours. I didn't know it was so much harder than what it was. Looking at it on paper, I'm like, oh, that's not, you know, 10,000 feet of climbing something. I just did 100 miles 2 weeks ago, 3 weeks ago now. Or 2 weeks ago, yeah. So we have 20,000 feet of climbing, and I'm like, it's only 10. But it was hard. And maybe I'm not fully, I mean, I think I recover pretty quickly, but I think I still have felt it in my legs.
Well, maybe it's like the, how the 200-milers are more healthier than the 100-milers. The 20,000 incline is much more healthier than the 10,000. It only makes sense.
Yeah, the 100K is shorter. It was definitely shorter, but I didn't expect that it was going to take me that long. I thought, 16 hours, no problem. And this guy that I ran with, who was from China, he tried to drop out. I'm like, dude, you came from China, you're not dropping out. Young guy, and his, yeah, and his mother was really sweet, and his stepdad's American, so they're like, thank you for getting him out of there, because he said that, he goes, you're very famous in China, and so we took a picture the day before, so when I saw him at the aid station, I'm like, what are you doing here, Ray? Let's get a move on, and he's like, no, I'm tired, and I go, okay, you're not injured, you're just tired, you have jet lag, let's go, and so he finished with me, so.
Nice.
And his goal was 12, he was on a 12-hour finish. And that's what can happen. Your whole race can blow up. So he's finished with me.
Awesome. Now let's shift gears a little bit here. Let's sure. talk. Let's talk about your wardrobe. You got some
my work.
Your wardrobe. Your
My wardrobe.
Yes, because every picture I see,
my
you look like
wardrobe.
Yeah. It's like a perfect advertisement for like Skittles. It's like every. Every color,
I got it.
Yeah,
that's a good one.
Right,
Skittles.
Exactly. You're
it's
like
kind of a
the Crayola. I don't
Hello
know.
Kitty meets Rainbow Bride.
Right.
Yeah.
So are you like a
yeah,
going for like
a
superhero
mashup,
look, or is it just for fun, or what's that all about?
I like color, and it's like they sell everything I wear is sold. It's made and sold. I'm sponsored by. I'm sponsored by, you know, I just
Crayola?
Wear it in a different way. I'm sponsored by running skirts.
By running
and they make
skirt.
Really cool skirts. Yeah, that's all the skirts that I wear and the running dresses are from them. And then the arm sleeves I wear and the matching gaiters and socks and stuff are from a company called Ultra Gam Gaiters. So I just wear a lot of, like, when they see me in certain outfits, they're like, oh, I would have never thought to use that skirt with the different arm sleeves. I'm like, oh, I do. But I like lots of color. I'm very into color. And like,
we can
see
that.
It makes me feel good. Yeah.
Which one of the 53 are you talking about?
Yeah. No, but I mean, people always say, oh my God, you're so bright and colorful. And it cheers them up when they see me coming. Because I'm always like, even if I'm struggling, I'm like, good job, everybody. You know, and trying to motivate people. Some people don't see anything back, and you can tell they're, like, really in a bad shape. But you know what? I don't care. I'm just going to say something hopefully, you know, that cheers them up, seeing me running along. But, you know, they always comment, you're the best-dressed person out here. You're the brightest. Oops, well, hold on.
Yeah.
And why do you...
an alarm.
Sorry.
And why do you prefer running in skirts over, like, any kind of, like, running pants or anything like that? Is it just freer or...
Well, you know, it's real. So years ago, when I started running marathons, I thought, all these clothes are ugly, these running clothes. Everybody looks like a boy. So I started buying, tennis skirts. So I was like on the cutting edge of this before it was even popular. Like, you go to a race now, and there's almost a big half of the majority of running skirts of some sort. And I think a higher percentage in a marathon because it sometimes sponsored by goes to all the marathon extras. I think they're smart for that. But it's just comfortable. They have like a little compression shorts underneath, and some women just put compression shorts. They make the compression shorts, but they're comfortable and they're cute, fashionable.
Oh, absolutely. I'm actually wearing that. I'm actually wearing that skirt right now.
Yeah.
I'm doing the interview in one of your skirts.
I'm very disappointed, Scott. Oh. There's only three colors on there. Very disappointed in you.
No, they're just comfortable, they're cute, and they're fun. And I use it fashion. You know, my fashion. I have a little creative style. And it's like wearing colors that's dressed cute. I go to work.
Hey, Catch, can we hang up and call you right back? Our connection is definitely coming in and out. I'm just going to hang up and call you right back.
Okay. Here I am.
Hi. Much better.
There we go.
Okay.
Yeah, you were starting to be like, yeah, I really like color, and then color,
no,
skirt, dog.
That's not a good interview. Yeah.
But yeah, so yeah, we were just talking about the your skirts and whatnot, and that you were saying they were popular. They become really popular, but you were wearing them for quite a long time.
Yes, because I just think they're cute. I like dressing cute when I'm not running, and so it just transfers into my running. And it's who I am, you know. It's like I don't want to wear a pair of black shorts and a singlet, you know. That's not me.
Absolutely. What about your tattoos? Style. When did you start getting
tattoos?
I only got one.
Well, I got a couple of tattoos when I was 21. And then I didn't start getting the majority of these until like 2002.
Mm-hmm.
So it wasn't like I was on drugs and not in my right mind getting tattoos, because I would have had some horrific tattoos. I would have had all like bats and skulls, like black and white stuff, you know, if those in the goth scene. So thank God I wasn't.
So you went from from black and white goth to like rainbow bright.
Exactly.
Pretty cool. But change.
I was. In the goth scene, I wore a lot of pink and red, too.
Oh.
And you also got a bunch of piercings as well. Is it lit 25 piercings?
Oh, yeah. I have a lot of piercings. I've had them for a long time.
Now, do you have to take all those out when you go running, or is it...
No. They stay.
It's comfortable?
I never take them out unless I have to go to, like, the dentist. I'll take the piercing out of my tongue and, like... Labrat and my lip line, you know, so they can do an x-ray.
You ever think about hanging like colored streamers from your piercings so you have even more color flowing as you zip down the trail?
Oh, that's a good idea.
See?
No.
That's what I'm here for.
Exactly.
You would look like a Macy's Thanksgiving float, like just going down.
With streamers.
Like I'm thinking if she wants to have like a harder run, she can have like multicolored parachutes connected to her piercings.
That's true. That's true.
Yeah.
But so your tattoos, we kind of cut you off there. So you started getting them in 2002, you said. And what's a lot of the artwork like? Like, is there a theme? Are they all different?
I guess they have a lot of Day of the Dead type skulls.
Okay, like
on me, but they have meaning on them. They have stars.
What do they call them? Sugar skulls? Is that what they call them?
Yeah, sugar skulls. They have. I have, I have a little, what is that? It's a little mountain lion kitty with skulls, and I have a map from where the wild things are. And then I have just like a little cartoon character of like me as a goth, and then she has red on. And then I have hearts, and I have other little, what is this? It's a pincushion doll. Lots of hearts.
Oh, yeah.
I have a lot of heart. Yeah. And I have little guns and stuff. I have lots of different things.
So how many?
They all kind of have meaning.
Yeah.
I don't know how many I have because they meshed into one. Like I have a whole sleeve on one arm.
Right, right.
Mm. So.
Nice.
But yeah, a lot of them have meaning. Like I have ones on my feet with hearts and little banners that one says mom and dad. My dad and my mom are both passed away. Mm-hmm. So I got those. And then I have 7 stars up the back of my leg, and they on each side, and those are dedicated to the 7 closest people that passed away in my life.
That's
a really cool skulls. Yeah, and then I had the skulls on the my side here. That one is So one is kind of like a gothic looking version, and then one is a really colorful version. So one is to represent who I used to be, and one is to represent who I am now.
Nice.
Yeah, so that's how I came up with that.
So,
and I have different ones I've gotten for doing different races, but they're not race-related looking tattoos, so I don't want any of that.
So, like, the world of ultra running, like, obviously, like, you have a distinct look and a distinct kind of personality. And now,
that's why I stand out.
Right. Like, is that the kind of point to stand out in the sport? Like, it's a sport a lot of people don't even know about.
I'm just being me.
Right.
But, I mean, it's gotten a lot of people inspired because they see my, you know, my blogs and Twitter and Facebook and Instagram and me running with a dog. And then they're like, oh, wow, I never thought to run with my dachshund. And I'm like, well, they might not want to run. You can try it. But just, you know, to show people to have fun. And, you know, being a woman and I'm 50, it's like you can still have fun and, you know, look good and be whatever. And it's just to inspire people, you know. I try to be positive. I think I'm pretty positive.
Absolutely.
A positive influence. And, you know, I talk a lot about being, you know, on drugs and drinking, and I was anorexic. I've gone through a lot.
Mm-hmm.
And that sharing that helps other people that don't want to share it, but they've been through the same thing, and they'll private message me saying, thank you for, you know, talking about that. That helps a lot of people.
Yeah.
You know, I have a guy that I've been on Facebook friends with, and he came to me for advice because his daughter was on drugs. And now she's finally, you know, it took her about 3 different treatment centers going in and out of the program to finally, now she's been clean and sober for 6 months, and she was a heroin addict living on the street at like 22 years old.
Hmm.
I mean, I didn't get that bad, but you know, she's doing fantastic. And he's like, thank you for helping me inspire her and showing your picture and showing her, you know, she follows me and stuff just to help keep her going.
Now, I mean, since you brought up drugs, I mean, I always hear about like a runner's high. Have you ever experienced that? I mean,
I guess I have, because I just enjoy myself when I'm out there. So when I started doing, you know, when I started running, I read about that. I didn't know, you know, I was not a runner, and I'm like, okay, am I feeling the runner's high? I don't really know, but I feel good when I'm out there. The longer I go, the better I feel.
I guess that's what I was getting to. I mean, comparing what your former life is and what it is today, I'm guessing the two are not in any way close, for lack of a better term.
No, but I can't even compare it. When I'm out there doing an intermile race, I used to stay awake for like 3 nights, you know, in a row, and be awake. So at nighttime, I'm just like, oh, this is like when I was doing drugs. I'm just awake all night, and I just pretend like I'm at a club. That's my nightclub. The trail is my nightclub. I'm blasting my music. I'm, you know, having fun. I'm listening to what I used to listen to and different music. You know, that's fun and, you know, got a good beat and jamming around. But I just look at it like that. It's like I was being a drug addict. I was training to be an ultra.
Right. So I have a comedian friend. He's been in recovery for 20 years, and he does a whole bit about, like, runners telling him, like, try running, you'll get high. He's like, runner's high. He's like, have you ever woke up in another state with another man in your bed? That's not high. He's like, I'll show you real high.
So how many miles do you think have you logged in your whole career?
Oh, I don't have my thing in front of me, but I know how many I have because I
really
keep track of it. I usually post it at the first of the year. Yeah, I keep track. I have a log. And I've been logging since I started running. So that was one of the first things I bought, was like a log book. I happened to be in Barnes & Noble when I was getting my marathon training book. And I was like, oh, a log book. I can write what I do in here. So I get that same one every year and log it in there. So I can actually tell you exactly, because it's right in my room. I know as of this year, I mean, I don't add it up until the end of the year. And I keep Truman's running blog, too. So at the end of the year, I post.
So you haven't,
like,
trained
miles
him to keep it himself?
No, he hasn't learned how to work the 4 paws yet. Yeah. He only has little 4. He doesn't have 5 because he doesn't have a dew claw. They removed it. Yeah.
Right.
So I never knew. All my dogs had 5 little claws, and he doesn't.
Little Duke.
So let's see. I'll tell you. Yeah. Well, I guess I'm going to use him for a chick dog, because I read up. I'm like, why would you remove them, and they only remove them if they're like purebred and they're gonna. Oh, I have it. I thought I had it right here. But it's like 60. Oh no, let's see. 80,417 was at the beginning of the year.
80,000.
So she has basically circled the Earth almost four times.
I guess so.
The Earth's circumference is 24,901 miles.
Last year I ran 5,158 and Truman ran 1,302.
Yeah, Truman. Way to go, Truman. Oh, yeah, you did okay, too.
But, we walked miles.
So, Katja, being a runner, like, is it profitable at all? Like, is this how you do? You make a living from this?
No, not even the people that win these things. I do get, people invite me out to races to be a guest speaker. That was the ambassador, so they, got a free entry and they put us up and put me and the other ambassador up in the hotel. So, we spoke there, and I'm going to write a book, and that's where I'm going to probably make a lot of money because people keep bugging me, like, when is your book coming out? And I'm like, yeah, a woman runner needs to write a book.
Next question, when is your book coming out?
Yeah, hopefully in the next 2 years. I'm actually working with a writer. She just emailed me and wants to work on a project.
She's still working on reading that first marathon book before she write hers. Right. So, she'll get yeah. it.
Now, like I was asking, so do you have to work a different job and do this, or are you able to sustain yourself?
I get in a lot of races. I get free entries from the race director, so that helps. And I'm sponsored, so I get free shoes and all that. So, I'm not... That's a big expense right there, just buying clothes and shoes and things. And, you share rooms with other runners when you go to a race. So, that cuts the cost of traveling and you travel together and things like that. But I do work another job. I work full-time in Whole Foods Market, which is 32 hours a week. I work Monday through Thursday. And then I'm a supervisor in the nutrition and body care department. And I've worked for them for 16 years.
Nice.
And they appreciate what I do and they understand what I do. So it works out.
Imagine how hard it is if she's your supervisor and you're like, but boss, I'm so tired right now.
I've never liked that.
I had to move last night. No, I was doing it for like 3 hours last night. Come on.
I don't have to take time off to go run these things because people are like, how do you do this? I go, well, I'm off Fridays. And when you run a 100-miler, you have to show up to the briefing on a Friday usually, do all your drop bags, and the race is Saturday and Sunday, and then I go to work on Monday. And I don't work until 2 every day, so I have all morning to train, too.
Right. So what has, as we come to the end here, what has running given to you and taught you? Like, if you could kind of sum that up in a few sentences.
What has it given me? It's given me discipline. It's giving me a lot of friendships. Mm-hmm. And it's just shaped me into who I am now and kept me clean and sober all these years.
And is the goal to just, keep pushing yourself further, or is it to run, as many different races as possible? What is your personal goal?
I'd like to run a 100-miler in every state, so I've already got a lot of states down, so that would be a goal. And I want to start running.
Rhode Island?
I guess you circle it, three times.
You would go in circles. You could do 2-mile loops to get 2 miles anywhere. So, I run in Morocco. I'd like to run in different countries too. Mm-hmm. But next year, my big goal is I hiked the Pacific Crest Trail in 2007, and I'm going to hike it again next year. So the trail is 2,660 miles long, and I did 2,000 miles of it. I got sick and got giardia, so I had cut 600 miles short. So I'm going to go back in May and hike the whole thing, and hopefully do it in under 100 days. That's my plan.
That's awesome. So
yeah, you can't run it. I went in with the mind of thinking I was going to be able to run the Pacific Crest Trail. Unless you have a crew, there's no way. You're carrying 30 pounds with your water through the desert, and not knowing when your next water source is. You always got to have a lot of water in the desert.
So if people wanted to check you out or email you or tweet you, where should they go? See what's going on in your world.
I have a Facebook athlete page, and I guess if they just put in Katja Corbett, I don't know, I actually know. It's it's just under Capture Corbett. I have my regular page, which is 5,000. It's at its limit all the time. So, but I have an athlete page, and then my Instagram and Twitter are both DirtDiva33.
Dirt Diva.
And so they check me. Yeah, DirtDiva33.
Like,
and then I have my blog is trailgirl.blogspot.com.
Awesome.
Nice.
But so, yeah, if they Google me, they can find all kinds of information, as you probably know.
Yes,
there's videos.
We've done a little research on you.
Mm-hmm. We're staring at you right now.
We're actually watching you.
Oh, no. There's some pictures on there. I don't know. You can't get them off. When you Google, I'm like, that was from a tattoo magazine. Why is that in there?
Yeah, there's a lot of stuff, but you should see the pictures of Berlew over here that you find on Google. Don't Google it. Google Michael Berlew naked.
Don't do it in front of your other employees, man. You'll lose your job. It's very scary.
But anyway, Catra, it's been an absolute pleasure having you on, and I think you make me want to go run some laps around the neighborhood. But I had three beers already, so
you
I don't know.
Bring your dog, but bring him.
I will bring him. I will bring him. But you know, I don't know. You know, maybe
Obi
I will.
Made it up the driveway.
Maybe I'll dress up in rainbow tonight and sprint around the neighborhood.
Don't tease. Yeah.
In honor of you.
Yeah, you should.
Dressed up in rainbow and, you know, run like a mile ring. And then
you'll get a lot of attention.
I will. Mm-hmm. I will. But I live in an area with, like, a lot of bears. So if one mauls me and I die and I'm in a rainbow outfit, I really don't want to go out
Scott's
like that.
Scott's mom, I can really
you don't
want to
be caught like that.
Yeah.
They wouldn't understand that you were just interviewing me and dressed like that. And yeah,
things got a little weird.
That might not be a good way to be remembered.
Anyway, Catra, thanks so much for coming on, and say hello to the dog for me.
Pleasure.
I will. Thank you.
And I'll send you a picture of my dog. We could exchange dog pictures.
Yeah,
is that cool?
Do. I want to.
Oh, my God.
All right. Take care. Thanks so much.
Great interview.
Thank you, you guys.
All right. We are back. Michael Berlew. Fun interview.
Very nice girl. Very Catra
Corbett.
Very open. Talks about stuff.
Wow, you really,
yeah,
you really nailed it there.
You know, I've been working on my talking skills, my broadcasting capabilities.
Very open. Yeah. She like
talks.
She like talks about stuff.
Yeah.
And it's like it was good, man. Yeah. It was just like good.
That thing she did where she spoke about it, I enjoyed.
But yes, very very interesting person. Probably has, you know, we probably could have talked about her backstory even more with the drugs and whatnot. But pretty cool, and pretty cool with the dog. And I suggest if you guys are listening to this, go take a look at her to kind of get an idea of who we're talking about, and it kind of all matches up. The whole personality and look and everything matches up.
I mean, I guess when you think about it, when there's a 4-year-old dachshund out there that can run 50 miles, and you're like, I can't really go up and get the mail. You got to really think about life.
Yeah. Yeah.
Not too much, but still.
Nah. So, yeah, another good one. You know what else is good? Wolf Nation.
Oh. Why do you even have to say that out loud?
I'm noticing that your beard is coming in maybe a little bit more.
I don't know. Wolf Nation. my follicles on my cheeks are just like, oh snap! I can't lose out on this opportunity, and they're pushing out even further.
Yeah, I think you're trying to be part of the nation.
I mean, the second you told me about it, I'm like, I can't miss this boat for nothing, man.
No, that would be silly.
That'd be atrocious.
That would be silly. But again, Wolf Nation is our latest sponsor, and they have they're up and coming apparel company, but it's for men, women, children. It's going to be hopefully dogs. I hope they get Obi a Wolf Nation shirt.
I hope they have a runner's outfit for Truman the Dachshund.
Yes, and Wolf Nation is spelled WULF. Okay, and it stands up for Wake Up and Live Free, okay?
How else would you spell that, though?
Well, I don't know. Huh. I don't know.
That was weird.
Wake Up, Live Free. So we are very happy to work with them, and hopefully got some things coming up with them, hopefully in the future. We're talking about a little Wolf Nation comedy show, possibly. Mm. We're talking about, you know, all sorts of different things going on, and we are pretty excited to work with them. And again, that's Wolf Nation. If you go onto Twitter and Facebook and whatnot, you'll find them, and they're just starting up. And by the holidays, they should be up and running and ready to go.
Yeah.
So we'd like to welcome once again Wolf Nation to the Verbal Shenanigans family.
Can't wait to work with them some more.
Yeah. So. So. That brings us to, we're Scott, close to the end here.
Should I start running 100 miles right now?
Now, if you tune into the last episode, Berlew claimed that he brought his first comedy set in. And we knew right away something was off. Because I knew right away that wasn't your first comedy set. You seemed a little too confident up there.
Well, the second I heard my first joke, I even said to myself, I don't remember having that joke in my original set. So
right. So apparently now you have found your comedy class, whatever, the final show.
We start playing, Berlew, this is you on Fallon. Yeah, I'm sorry, man. I can't believe how great I was that night.
So now it's time for you to get a little piece of your own medicine, taste of your own medicine. And you know, I went through this. Now let's hear, since you failed us last week and brought us something decent in, let's hear something. You know, maybe this is real good too. So this is from Scotty's. What? How about how long ago you think?
I would have to think about 2 years ago.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Something like that.
Okay. So, ladies and gentlemen, the great Michael Berlew.
14. I was
at. Hold on. Start at the beginning. Let's not rush this.
Ooh. That's my job.
Ooh, the comedy co-presents Michael Berlew. How professional. Okay, here we go.
I send that to HBO.
All right, so there you are. You just ripped the microphone out of the stand like a crazy
Give
man.
Give me this shit.
Hold on, let's look at that again. Woo!
How we doing?
All right, let's hear it. How we doing?
Yeah, I love you, ladies. I never had much luck with you, but I do love you. I remember when it started. It was around 14. I was at the junior high dance, and I couldn't get anything going. I tried talking to these girls. I tried dancing with them, and they wanted no part of me. So I had to spend most of the night just sitting by myself, feeling down, feeling lonely. And I was
sitting on a stool now.
Yep.
But then I got happy because the DJ started playing the Locomotion. How can you feel bad when the Locomotion play, am I right? You know it, Raiders. So I heard that, I got up, I ran out onto the dance floor, I got to the end of the lineup, hooked up to the last person's hips, I'm dancing, I'm feeling happy, life is good. And a couple minutes in, I'm starting to ask myself, why are there more people out here? So I turn my head, and I notice all the good-looking girls decided to start a second train 5 feet behind me. These girls were so repulsed, they started a second locomotion. These girls started an underground railroad just not to touch me.
Got a little
not terrible
there.
Not terrible.
No.
It's
I mean, like I said, this is not like my first
yeah
attempt, so it's
not bad. Not bad. It's maybe a little wordy in the
little rush.
Rush, but
I found a way to be rushed and wordy at the same time. And I can't.
Like, it just seems like you're like trying to describe, like,
and then. Don't worry, the punchline's coming in another hour.
But not terrible for you know, maybe
I would. Yeah, I mean, that's my first like real performance.
Yeah. So let's continue.
All right. As I turn my head and look at them at wonder, they notice I saw them, and they start dancing in another direction. Do you think I'm not going to notice a 20-person conga line running away from me? I just look, and I'm like, oh, come on! Enter the locomotion with me!
Big punch.
That's it, the big punch.
Little clapping there.
Wow.
Yeah.
walking detour sign for the opposite sex. Even.
What was that?
You're like a walking detour sign for the opposite sex.
Hmm. I've never heard you say that one before.
Yeah, I kind of took it out. I mean, it was something working with like Chip's Ambrosia or Chip Ambrosia. He threw me some lines. I put it in there. It's one of those that never really hit. So it's kind of like no reason to have it in there. I need the 20 minutes of explanation at the beginning.
When I get luck in a relationship, life always finds a way of taking something away. I was doing inventory at a quick check. And I went in the back to give my boss my numbers. We were dating at the time, and she was doing inventory in the freezer. And she was giving me one of those looks. One of those frisky looks. You ever get those surfing ladies? No? They like me. I don't get them. Most women give me that, didn't the judge tell you to be 500 feet away from me look?
We're still not doing bad yet.
She sits on a milk crate. She grabs my hips. She pulls me in tight. She unzips my zipper. Yeah. It was spontaneous. It was exciting. And I wish I could have told you how it felt because it's so cold in there. An impromptu BJ is supposed to be mind-blowingly amazing. This was dick-numbingly frustrating, okay? And she's just going, I couldn't feel anything. I'm just staring at her. My mind's wandering. I'm starting thinking of stuff like, is her tongue going to get stuck to the pole like they did in Christmas?
I want more bombing.
Third joke's coming.
Burroughs doesn't bomb.
That's an urban legend. Never occurred.
All right. I mean, so far, so good, especially for being really early in your comedy career. I've seen you do worse than this.
I know.
I know.
Good. I've been there.
All right.
Enjoy yourself, man. Appreciate that. Back to the story.
After a while,
I realized I had to make a decision. Do I tell her the truth that I'm not enjoying this and risk never getting another blowjob again? Or do I just let her keep going and risk going to the emergency room or frostbite my penis? So I'm in the emergency room. And that's when I realized the only thing I have in my life is my job. Because say what you will about Quick Check, I got free coffee every day. I got a Hummer in the back room. And I had health insurance good enough to pay for the dumb decisions I make in life.
Applause break, huh?
Yeah. It was really tough.
Do you think the applause breaks are for because it people know, like the crowd, like is there for
I mean,
that?
I only had like five people with me. Like a lot of people were everybody else there. Like Paul Goldenberg was part of my group. Who else was
Doug
there? No, Doug was the previous class. The girl went to Colorado. Melanie Drew, she was in there. Mm-hmm. A guy named Vippin, who basically went up on stage and like, I like curry, and that was his whole bit.
Oh, that's a good one. I love that one.
Yeah, I tried to steal it. It didn't really work.
I like curry.
I like curry and the Dukes of Hazzard.
But you would say that room had like a built-in supportive crowd at least.
Oh,
probably.
Yeah. I mean, it's no walk up to a cold room crowd and try to be like an opener.
Okay.
I give off this look of utter desperation that people pick up on. I got picked up at the airport by a cab driver, and he was taking me to my hotel room.
So is this the one we're looking?
Yeah, this one, the ending, the end joke didn't end at, well.
Okay.
And he tried to sell me a woman for the night. And you try to be polite. I don't recall, sir. I tried to be nice, but he wasn't having it. He was not stopping for the entire trip. I had to sit in the backseat of a cab for 20 minutes listening to an infomercial on Hooker Vagina. And I finally get to my hotel. I get up to my room. I go to sleep. I go to bed for the night. And when I come back down the next day, waiting for a ride, I know it's the same cab driver from the other day. Slowly driving across the street, just staring at me with just utter anger at me. And I'm like, wow, that's a wild coincidence. That was weird. Until I noticed he came back the other direction to do the same thing. This guy was making circles for 10 minutes just to look pissed off at me. I didn't know I could ruin a man's life by not picking up a prostitute from him. And all I couldn't figure out what could be...
And ease in the crowd.
Yeah, you hear the dishes.
The ding, the ding, ding, the clinking of glasses.
This is good food. Mm,
good water. Good water.
I gotta go to the bathroom.
Starting to notice the energy to be sucked away.
Going on in his life that would really make him feel that way. The only thing I could think of is this situation where he goes home and he has a little kid and all comes up to him, looks like Tiny Tim and all.
Daddy?
You're on the ground.
Yeah.
Do we have enough money for food tonight?
No, son. I'm afraid we'll have to go to bed hungry yet again tonight. Take some time, sorry.
But weren't there any men in your cab, Dad? Weren't there any desperate men?
No, son. There was one. He was the loneliest man I've seen for quite a fortnight. Alas, he would not come to my offers of female pleasure.
I'm so hungry. Why did he have to be so selfish?
Oh, boy.
Yeah.
It's okay, son.
Oh,
it's
boy.
Okay. There, there. I don't know why.
This took a pretty quick right there.
That kind of scared him right there. No, I mean, that was my ending joke. had him. Uh oh.
You can actually hear, like, see the moment your heart like breaks on stage. Like, you have like this confidence. All of a sudden, you're like, and right now you can't get the mic stand together. Yep. Like, duh.
Well, keep going.
Hold on. I got to go back to this line here. This is one line. Daddy!
Daddy!
Let's see. All right, here we go. I just want to hear the end of that.
Weren't there any men in your cab, dude? Weren't there any desperate men?
No, son. There was one. He was the loneliest man I've seen for quite a fortnight. Alas, he would not come to my offers of female pleasure.
I'm so hungry. Why did he have to be so selfish?
Oh, it's okay, son. It's okay. There, there. I don't know why, but I plan to find out.
I scared them on that one.
Hey, here you are. You can't get the mic.
Yeah. And they cut it off when the ending was when I'm like, all right, I picked it up, and it came out of the stand, and I hit the ceiling time. They gracefully didn't include that in the DVD. Unfortunately, they left that last joke.
It's DVD. Amazing how like you could just see in the video. Like if you go in slow motion, you're like, no. But.
That was good to review.
Not too bad. The first two jokes went well.
Yeah, the third joke actually happened. That was a Bulgarian thing where a guy offered me a prostitute. I said no. And I came back the next morning. I came out of the hotel, and he was doing circles, just staring at me, getting pissed off because I didn't get a prostitute from him. It's an interesting story, but I guess it doesn't relate to the States that well. Yeah. Maybe if I did more kid voice.
Maybe.
Daddy.
Maybe. But I think we're coming to the end here, Berlu.
Are you sure you don't want to play it again?
Well, we could. We could just save it for other days and just play it over and over again. That's up there with that's up there with some of my good ones from the from my first time.
That was fun, kind of looking at it.
Yeah, it wasn't as bad as I thought it was going to be. To be honest,
it was just if I could have switched around, would have had that shit joke in the beginning.
Mm. or not in there. I'm gonna find out.
Wasn't that Southern? I said it.
Oh. But Berlo, what do you got to promote? Anything?
I got Rockin' Joe's December 14th coming up.
You're not giving people enough time.
In 2019, I plan to be doing this comedy club. They haven't built it yet. It's in Utah.
Right.
Tickets will be on sale around mid-2018.
Great.
Once I get a phone line in there, I'll give out the number.
Okay, and I guess for me, I'm going to do... October 9th, I'll be at Red's in Karlstadt. It's the new Funniest Teachers show. Funniest Teachers.
Why are all you on there?
Comics who are teachers. Yeah, well, I get the teacher part, maybe not the funny part.
Oh, okay.
I'm working my way up to that.
You can steal my last joke.
I could do that. But I want to thank Catcher Corbett. I want to thank Wolf Nation. I want to thank...
DraftKings.
I wanted that Audible. And
how about me?
Let's go Mets. And I think that's it. Life is funny, people. Laugh at it. Keep the wind at your back. I'm going for a run. Let's get out of here.
I'll find out.
Oh, yeah.
Streets with